Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, January the 20th, 10th, 2019, or 2020. Oh my goodness. Let's just start over with that. I'm still Nancy Pippin. This is the Pantograph for Friday, January 10th, 2020. And we have a lot going on in the news. We'll start first with the national news, which has been on everyone's mind, and it says missile likely hit jet. U.S. allies cite intel, 176 killed in a crash. It is highly likely, this is out of Washington from the Associated Press, and it is highly likely that Iran shot down the civilian Ukrainian jetliner that crashed near Tehran late Tuesday, killing 176 people on board. U.S., Canadian, and British officials declared Thursday. They said the fiery missile strike could well have been a mistake amid rocket launches and high tension throughout the region. The crash came just a few hours after Iran launched a ballistic attack against Iraqi military bases housing U.S. troops in its violent confrontation with Washington over the U.S. drone strike that killed the Iranian Revolutionary Guard general. The airliner could have been mistaken for a threat, said four U.S. officials speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive intelligence. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose country lost at least 63 citizens in the Downing, said in Toronto, "We have intelligence from multiple sources, including our allies and our own intelligence. The evidence indicates that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile." This article continues on page 2. And we find the House passed a resolution, a measure of 224 to 194, with only three Republicans voting in support. Eight Democrats opposed the measure. A similar proposal by Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, faces an uphill fight in the GOP-run Senate. Kaine's efforts received a boost Thursday as Republican Senator Todd Young of Indiana, an ex-Marine, said he might support the War Powers measure. Two other Republican senators said Wednesday they would back Kaine's plan. "We are members of a separate and distinct branch of government. It is our duty not to take anyone's word for things as we are dealing with matters of life and death," Young said, adding that he wished Trump administration officials had provided more intelligence information during a briefing Wednesday on a U.S. drone that killed a top Iranian general. And Pelosi, in announcing the House vote, called the killing of General Qasem Soleimani provocative and disproportionate. Louisiana Representative Steve Scalise, the number two House Republican, denounced the measure as a little more than a press release designed to attack the president. While House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California called it a meaningless vote on a measure that will never be sent further or limits constitutional authority to defend the American people. The House vote came a day after Trump administration briefed lawmakers on its actions in Iran. Democrats and several Republicans called the briefing inadequate, that officials did not provide enough details about why the attack was justified. Vice President Mike Pence said Thursday that Soleimani was traveling the region making plans to bring an attack against American personnel and forces. He said it was not possible to share full details of the intelligence with lawmakers. "When it comes to intelligence, we have to protect sources and methods. There's only a certain amount we can share with every member of Congress," Pence said. as he spoke on Good Morning America. But those of us who have been seen all the evidence know that there is a compiling case of imminent threat against U.S. personnel. Trump said Thursday that he had calls from numerous senators, numerous congressmen, and women saying it was the greatest presentation they'd ever heard. And we go back now to page one. And just a second, please. There is a little bit of a, let's see, now we'll move on to bromine, Eureka to be Carle Health Hospitals. So here locally, we find that bromine chief says care level staffing will not be affected. Advocate Bromine Medical Center in Normal, Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka, and all Advocate affiliated sites in central Illinois are being acquired by Urbana-based Carle Health in a transaction that representatives of both sides said will benefit patients, employees, and physicians. Advocate Bromine, based in Downers Grove and Milwaukee, and Carle Health announced the acquisition to employees and physicians of each organization Thursday. Governing boards of each health system have approved the plan, which is subject to regulatory approval, including the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board, and the Federal Trade Commission. Colleen Canaday, president of Advocate Bromine and Advocate Eureka, and Dr. James Leonard, Carle president and CEO, told the Pantograph that they expect the acquisition to close by mid-year. Terms of the transaction were not disclosed. The hospital name changes have not yet been determined. From day one, we have no plans for staff changes or layoffs, Leonard said. During the transition period, care will not be impacted, said Canaday, who under Carle will remain president at Bromine and Eureka, the same great physicians and staff providing care today will continue. Leonard said Carle was interested in acquiring Advocate sites in central Illinois in part because they are strong. Now, there are more photos and facts about the history of Carle Health and Advocate Bromine on the pantograph.com page that you can access. And then we move over to page two, where it talks about that the values of the acquisition of will affect about 2,000 employees and includes Bromine, Eureka Hospitals, and other Advocate enterprises in central Illinois, including medical groups, home care, and hospice, and joint ventures, including the Advocate Bromine and Fit Health and Fitness Center, the Center for Outpatient Medicine, and the Community Cancer Center, says Canaday, who didn't anticipate major changes at any of these operations. We have the privilege of joining an incredibly strong regional health care system, Canaday said. Canaday said Advocate and Carle have partnered on projects over the years, and the acquisition is the best way to serve our patients not only in our communities but throughout the region. Timing of the acquisition by Carle is perfect, said Advocate Aurora, as Advocate Aurora is looking to new markets, Canaday said. Leonard said he and Advocate Aurora President, CEO Jim Scosberg, began discussion some time ago after Scosberg approached him about possible acquisition. Leonard said the acquisition makes sense. First, Carle is based 1 hour away in central Illinois, while Advocate Aurora is based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Carle, which includes Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, hospitals in Olney and Hoopston, Health Alliance programs, whose coverage area includes the McLean County area, and Carle Physician Groups has 7,800 employees. Second, we're aligned around what is important in healthcare, which is taking care of the patients. Advocate Bromine and Carle sites in Central Illinois will provide significant growth opportunities for staff, which is good for patients and the Central Illinois economy, Leonard and Canaday said. That is a huge win for our communities, Canaday said. We are very excited about the future. Our tradition and our heritage as a faith-based organization will continue, and our partnership with our delegate churches will remain, Canaday said. This is a good thing for the Bloomington, Normal, and Woodford counties, Leonard said. We will pay fair market value for the entities owned by Advocate, Leonard said, and that fair market value will be defined before the closing between April and July. So sounds like quite a growth in the healthcare industry. And as we look back on page four, up at the top, it's suggesting again that wet weather is coming, and we're looking at downpours to bring 4 to 5 inches, and it should turn to ice and snow this weekend. And we'll talk maybe a little more about that on page A3. Currently, we're looking that we're supposed to have a high today of 54 and a low of 34. So, and remember, you can always get updates on the hashtag YBN. And we move forward with Carle Move Wins Praise in the Twin Cities. Bromine nursing professionals like having Carle close. Two longtime Advocate Bromine Medical Center employees and Central Illinois community leaders gave a thumbs up to Carle Health's plans to acquire Advocate Aurora Health sites in Central Illinois. Urbana-based Carle plans to acquire Advocate Bromine in Normal, Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka, and all Advocate affiliate sites in Central Illinois from Advocate Aurora, which is based in Downers Grove and Milwaukee. The acquisition could happen by mid-year. I'm excited, Lori Harper, Bromine Director of Nursing, told the Pantograph. Harper began there 35 years ago when it was Brokaw Hospital and remained when the merger with Mennonite Hospital renamed the institution Bromine Regional Medical Center, and when Advocate Acquisition 10 years ago renamed the hospital Advocate Bromine Medical Center. The 10 years with Advocate had been great, but sometimes the distance can be a challenge, Harper said. We have great partnerships with all our Advocate Aurora facilities, but occasionally meetings in the Chicago area mean time away from here. There are a lot of miles between all of us, Harper said, meeting Advocate Aurora Hospital in Central Illinois, the Chicago area, and Wisconsin. Partnering with someone, for instance, Carle, who is closer geographically, is a great opportunity for us, she said. Dana Robbins, a nursing professional development specialist who has been with Bromine for over 30 years, said she would miss her Advocate nursing colleagues in the Chicago area, but has met Carle nurses and found, as we move on to page A2, has found their values align well with others. I look forward to working with our Carle partners, Robbins said, and we will continue our emphasis on patient safety and high quality. Normal Mayor Chris Koos and Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner and Eureka City Administrator Melissa Brown said the development was good for Central Illinois. Bromine has been a great asset to our community, and it looks like they'll get the opportunity to grow regionally in Central Illinois, Renner said. He said Carle CEO Dr. James Leonard's comment that there were no plans for job reductions in Eureka and Normal is a win for the hospital staff, patients, and communities. This definitely will increase our opportunities for economic development and job growth, Reiner said. Coos said it's a good move for Advocate Bromine in Normal and Advocate Eureka. In addition, it's good news for healthcare in the region because the hospital systems would be based in central Illinois rather than Chicago area, Coos said. Colleen Kennedy will stay, which is good news, Coos added, referring to the president of Advocate Bromine and Advocate Eureka. She's a strong cheerleader for the community, Coos said. Her decision to stay gives me a lot of confidence. Lynn Fulton, president of OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, wished Kennedy and her team well and said she's enjoyed collaborating with Kennedy on projects. My hope is that would continue under Carl's umbrella. Carl's acquisition does not change our OSF strategy. We feel we're on the right road. OSF Healthcare 2 years ago acquired hospitals in Champaign and Danville. Carl Clinic Bloomington Normal was at 1701 East College Avenue in Bloomington, and several years ago when it was acquired by OSF and renamed OSF Healthcare Medical Group College Avenue. And so it's sounds like a lot of praise from the community as this merger goes forward. And now we'll go to Flick's Fact. Did you know that renowned physician forensic pathologist Michael Baden made news this week by suggesting on TV's 60 Minutes that his preliminary look into the death of financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein showed more signs of murder than as alleged a suicide? How is Baden best known in central Illinois? So, local connection to a national story, and how are the two connected? We're talking about Dr. Michael Baden. Well, back in 1984, in a case that drew national attention, the prosecution brought in Baden to testify at the trial of David Hendricks, who was accused of killing his wife and three children. Baden provided key testimony about the stomach contents of the children that helped lead to a conviction. Hendricks was acquitted in a retrial in 1991, but Dr. Baden is no stranger to difficult cases. And we'll move on here. We now look at page A3, which is local and state news, and find that a murder case hearing has been set, a Bloomington Normal man accused of a fatal shooting at a New Year's Eve party. The Bloomington man accused of killing Tariq L. Houston at a New Year's Eve party in Normal will be in court Friday afternoon for his first hearing on murder charges. Dewan I.C. Griffin, 19, was arrested late Wednesday afternoon on murder charges in the shooting death of a 17-year-old Houston. Normal police said they made the arrest in collaboration with the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force at a residence in the 400 block of West Chestnut in Bloomington. Normal Police Chief Rick Bletchner said Thursday he doesn't expect to find any other murder suspects, but the investigation continues. We believe he was the one who fired the shot that killed Mr. Houston, Bletchner said. Griffin remained in McLean County Jail Thursday in lieu of posting bond on the murder charge. He will appear in court at 12:45 p.m. Friday. Houston, who is of Springfield and recently Decatur, was shot in the abdomen and died of the wound, McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder has said. Police found Houston in a parking lot outside Heartland Village Apartments in the 1700 block of Putnam Avenue in Northwest Normal after someone called 911 at 11:40 p.m. on New Year's Eve. He was transported to an area hospital where he later died of his injuries, according to the McLean County Coroner's Office. Blechner said Houston attended the party, at which a disagreement between two groups escalated. Shots were fired and Houston was struck. Garrett R. Offield, 18, of Bloomington, was arrested last week for allegedly firing shots near Houston after he was fatally wounded, but those shots did not hurt anyone and did not result in Houston's death, police said. And then we move on to a Springfield article that Pritzker lobbyist email horrific. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Thursday denounced as horrific an email from a powerful lobbyist and close confidant of Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan that hinted at a rape cover-up, and he said he's relying on a state watchdog agency and law enforcement officials to find out if any wrongdoing was committed. Also Thursday, Madigan said that he will not initiate a House-led inquiry into the email, and Senate Republican leader Bill Brady of Bloomington asked that the Illinois State Patrol investigate. Pritzker's comments came during his first public appearance since the disclosure of a July 2012 email to aides of then-Governor Pat Quinn, in which lobbyist Mike McLean advocated for state worker Forrest Ashby in a disciplinary matter. In the email first reported Tuesday by WBEZ, McLean said Ashby, who later worked as a consultant on Pritzker's campaign, kept his mouth shut about Jones' ghost workers, the rape in Champaign, and other items. He is loyal to the administration. The email did not include any other details about the rape, nor was it clear who McLean was referring to in connection to the ghost workers. Pritzker reiterated that his office had referred the matter to the Office of Executive Inspector General, the state agency charged with investigating allegations of misconduct within the executive branch. The Inspector General will determine whether the matter should be referred to law enforcement, he said. The investigation will be hugely important in uncovering details about the alleged rape and ghost payrolling, Pritzker said. House Republican leader Jim Durkin of Western Springs said he isn't satisfied with an inspector general investigation. Durkin sent a letter to Madigan on Wednesday requesting that the speaker assign a House committee to an investigation that would include subpoenas for testimony from McLean, Ashby, and two former Quinn administration officials who corresponded with McLean, and Lori Rickman Jones, who headed a state agency where Ashby worked and is the wife of former Illinois Senate President Emil Jones. Madigan denied Durkin's request in a letter Thursday, writing that Pritzker has assured him the matter has been referred to the appropriate authorities. Recognizing the sensitivity of the matter for any potential survivors, any investigation should be handled by the appropriate investigative entities without interference by the General Assembly, the letter said. Pritzker, who is wrapping up his first year in public office, stepped carefully around the questions from reporters about how the emails reflect on Madigan, the longtime House Speaker, who also leads the state Democratic Party. "Let's start with getting all the facts," Pritzker said. And as our final article on page A3, we see that Illinois Medicaid is now covering transgender therapy. The Illinois Medicaid program now covers medical procedures for people transitioning from one gender to the other. The Department of Health Care and Family Services, the state's primary Medicaid agency, published new administrative rules that spell out the types of gender-affirming services covered and the conditions under which the program will reimburse providers for those services. The rules became effective December 23rd. The department announced in April that it would develop such a policy. Previously, Illinois specifically excluded what had been referred to as transsexual surgery from the Medicaid coverage. Health care is a right, not a privilege. I am committed to ensuring our LGBTQ community and all Illinoisans have access to that right, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a statement at the time. Expanding Medicare to cover gender-affirming surgeries is cost-effective, helps avoid long-term health consequences, and most importantly, is the right thing to do. With continued attacks coming from Washington, this administration will always stand with our transgender community and with their right to lead safe and healthy lives. The procedures are available to people diagnosed with gender dysphoria, a recognized condition in which people experience distress or discomfort because the gender they are assigned at birth does not match the gender with which they identify. Researchers say it occurs in only a small percentage of all individuals, and under Illinois' new policy, coverage is available to people over age 21, although it can be provided to some people younger than 21 if it's determined to be medically necessary. Procedures covered include genital surgery as well as breast or chest surgery. To qualify for genital surgery, a patient must submit letters from two qualified practitioners, including the patient's primary care provider, who have each examined the patient independently. And that brings us to a close of our first half hour. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, January 10th, 2020. So please stay tuned.